A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm home, when I'm
home. Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam Podcast here on Patreon a day early or on the main feed on Friday. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Mr. Finlay Martin. Finn, how are you doing today?
Kenny, I'm doing all right. How's yourself?
I'm good, but if you were to ask the same question to my wallet, the answer's not as good. Because yesterday, tickets went on sale for WWE Clash at the Castle, and you had to make a decision whether you wanted to pay the prices or not.
And, yes. I saw those prices. I saw them.
Yeah. Because my other half, Steve Gunn, who you know, it's his birthday on the 15th of June.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, if it was anywhere else in the UK, I probably wouldn't have forked out the money to go. But with it being in Glasgow and it being the first one, we're going to go with a couple of people. But yeah, I think the cheapest combo ticket there was like 175 quid, which would have been what, 60, it would have been 85 quid a night, whatever, I'm bad at maths, 87 yeah. 50 a night. Yeah. But they were obviously gone immediately, so the tickets ended up going up to, I think, £800, which would have been £400 a night, or the like first two rows at ringside were like £3,000, which is like £1,500 a night. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's big prices. I mean, it's similar pricing to the Berlin show. The Berlin show also was around those prices.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's just one of those things where when they do stadiums, they can kind of not charge as much because there's so much stuff coming in. But when they do these smaller arenas, they hike the prices up, so
yeah,
a lot of people are being, you know, but it's one of those things. It's like I've always kind of tried my best to be like, if it's not for you, you don't go.
Exactly. And you know, I think these prices are obscene. I just think they are outrageous, right? And I would not pay them. But I understand that some people feel like they have to be there. And, you know, it's one of those things, and you feel exploited when they're charging this much for something that emotionally you feel like you've got to be there, or you're going to feel like you're missing out if you're not there. So I do get why people are annoyed by the prices. I do understand that. I absolutely do. I wouldn't pay it, you know, but if you feel it's worth the money, then that's absolutely fine with me. You know, I have the things that I've spent a lot of money on in life that people would say, are you mad? But to me, it's worth the money. So, you know, it's a personal decision to me.
Yeah. And I think, you know, because it has changed. Because I think back in the day, like in, you know, the 90s, you could go and see WWF for £20 a ticket or whatever. But
yeah,
the times have changed. It's like, you know, when I'm trying to book talent, talent are more expensive than they've ever been. And the problem you've got is sometimes the audience don't have the amount of money to the amount of disposable income to do it, or think it's worthwhile doing at the price that you need to charge. So it's a tricky predicament. And
yeah,
but you know, I mean, they've sold thousands of tickets already. So you know, the thing is, when it's set, it's like, I mean, I always remember years ago when Barbara Streisand. I've said this before, but she was doing. Barbara Streisand's not for me. Like, you know, she's just not somebody I would pay to go and see in concert, but I get that she's a big deal. And she was doing the O2 in London, and this would have been about 2009, 2010, it was ages ago. And she was charging £600 a ticket for that one night. And she sold out two nights in a row. So yeah. When it sells out, it's just going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, I remember when we were doing the Undertaker tour, and you know, we had charged what we charged to make it a worthwhile thing for us to do, and also to be able to bring him over. And I always remember a comment that somebody had said, where they said, "We're a family of four, and you're pricing us out." And I remember thinking, but that's not my fault. You know, I'm yeah. working hard to make sure this guy comes over who's never been over.
Yeah,
and it's a premium thing, and it has to be a premium price. It has to be worth me doing. It has to be worth. I have to be able to pay for him to come over and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, that has to be the priority. And you put it out there, and if people can pay it, great, come along. If they can't, fair enough. But you know, I think the dangerous territory is it should be a price that I can afford because that's what works for me. Which I understand it, but I think it's just, you know, that's not really how it works. But
yeah. You as a promoter, I mean, the talent costs a lot of money to bring the Undertaker over, costs a lot of money to fly him over, costs a lot of money to put him up when he's over and to look after him when he's over. And, you know, that's a huge investment, a huge risk for you as a business owner, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a huge gamble. And those pricings on the tickets, I mean, reflect the amount of money it costs you to put on those shows. And that's just the way it is, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, it's like, you know, WWE are not taking a risk, obviously, by doing this, because they, you know, if for some reason, because there's a second pre-sale this morning, which, I mean, I would give you the ITR partner code every day, but it'll all be done by the time this comes out, in case you need it, WWE ITR, all caps. But the thing is, if the tickets are not shifting at certain areas, then they'll just put the prices down slightly. You know, that's what they'll do. So. Yeah. But I mean, yesterday, I know yesterday from the allocation and the pre-sale, the first tier, which were all £800 a ticket, they'd all sold out. And the only tickets that were left that were like £800 ones or higher were like floor seats near the back. Which, you know, maybe people are thinking, I'm not paying that amount of money to be near the back on the floor. Maybe that's the idea, I don't know. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on the sales, but I think it will be a sellout regardless. And you know, I saw some people kind of saying, you know, Glasgow is a city where, you know, you had ICW and Mark Dallas and this is a rip-off. And it's like, I get it. Like, I do understand it, but it's not really WWE's problem to, like, they don't need to cater to the ICW crowd.
No.
They're catering to the general public.
Yeah, I mean, and it's two shows in Glasgow and it may be 5 years before they put on another premium live event in the city. Maybe 10 years.
Yeah, or even ever, because it might not they might not choose to do it again. So I do understand that, you know, if you've not got the money, it is frustrating and the prices are mental. But like I say, that's when you make the decision. Am I going to go? Am I not? But there's plenty of other news been going on, Finn, this week that we're going to get into. I want to open up by talking about Bill Goldberg. So Goldberg had been asked on an interview with 93.7 The Ticket that he was on, he was asked about joining AEW. And he was asked by the host, Adam Carriker, if he'd ever had any conversation with Tony Khan about going to AEW. And he said, "I've talked to Tony a number of times throughout the past. This is where you're going to get the most blunt answer you're going to get from me. The product is too cheesy. The product is too cheesy. It doesn't deserve to have whatever. Now you're really going to get me going. But if there was a comparable, viable option as a competitor that would allow me to still look myself in the mirror after I was a member of their roster, then it would be a consideration, but not a chance." Now, I'm just.
It's a no. It's a no from Goldberg.
It's a no from Goldberg, which is fine. I understand it's a no, but like, there's a lot of things you can knock AEWs for, right? Understandably. But if this guy's saying they're too cheesy, their show's too cheesy, I mean, WWE is cheesy in terms of certain levels of on-screen stuff that they do. You know, Goldberg was in a match with The Fiend a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He's been involved in cheesy. And, you know, one of the things that AEW did pretty well was Sting's run and his kind of, you know, legend run there. Yeah. So, you know, if anything, Goldberg would probably be handled quite well because Tony Khan would want to make sure that, you know, in Tony Khan's mind, he said this before, he's not a successor to WCW, but he sees himself in some ways as somebody who carries on some of the stuff that WWE isn't carrying on. You know, he said that before. So I think, you know, it's weird that Goldberg is just giving this knock to them, which doesn't really feel like a fair knock. I mean, if he's to say, oh, I'm not going because the style's not for me, you know, I don't want to work somewhere where there's not enough selling or whatever it is. You go, okay, fair enough. That's his decision. But the product is too cheesy. I just can't quite understand that's his gripe with AEW compared to. But I mean, he seems to be bad mouthing everybody nowadays. Vince, Triple H, yeah. Tony Khan. But what did you make of? It's too cheesy. That's the reason for Big Bill.
Yeah, I mean, he's turning into Bret Hart, and Ronda Rousey's turning into Bret Hart, and it's just like all these people are just like, I don't like it. I never liked it. You know, I mean, Goldberg, I think, probably doesn't watch entire episodes of Dynamite or Collision or Rampage even. He probably watches clips online. That's probably what he's seen. And I bet he watched the Sting, probably watched parts of the Sting retirement match. But mostly what he'll be thinking about is Darby Allin's ridiculous swanton off the ladder, in the ring, onto the glass that was lying on the chairs at ringside. And to Goldberg, that wouldn't make any sense at all because he was never into gimmick matches. He never did. He never really used props. Actually, that's not true. One time he did when he smashed the limousine window and cut all his arm up and missed about 6 or 7 months of his career. So he's not into gimmicks. You know, his limited experience with them did not end well for him. But he's not really into, you know, flippy guys and tumbling matches and no selling and a million near falls. That's not Goldberg's thing. To him, that's not pro wrestling. And I think he's very narrow-minded. In fact, he always has been, let's be honest. If you remember, you know, him and Chris Jericho had that big blow-up in late 98. Yeah. When Jericho wanted to do something with him and Goldberg didn't want to work with Jericho because he felt that Jericho was a comedy character and it was beneath him to stoop to that level because he was a top guy and his matches were serious. And I think, yeah, he's got pretty much got tunnel vision, Kenny, when it comes to what he will do and what he wants to be involved in.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I think it's an unfair comment to make. I think there would be something he could do in AEW that I think would flatter him and I think would work for him as well when he was there. But I just think he's probably seen, you know, the worst aspects, or someone's probably shown him like a compilation or clips of the aspects of AEW that they know he wouldn't like, in order to extract that opinion from him. I mean, I bet you could put a compilation together of AEW highlights that Goldberg would like. I'm sure you could.
Yeah, but you know, you could put a compilation of WWE stuff he would hate, or WWE stuff he would like.
Oh, of course you could. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
The thing that makes him look quite dumb in this comparison is, like I say, you know, there are knocks to be made, or criticisms to be made. Knocks is unfair. Criticisms to be made of something that wouldn't be for you. But, like, Goldberg was in WWE when there was way cheesier stuff going on under Vince than there is in AEW at points. So he was part of some of it. You know, he was facing The Fiend. I mean, talk about cheesy. You know, The Fiend was mature cheddar. Like,
there was... Yeah, but he wasn't involved in that silliness. He just nailed him with a spear and a jackhammer, and it's over.
Yeah, but he still worked with the guy, you know.
He did, and what happened? He crushed him.
Crushed. But I mean, the weird thing is, and the thing he doesn't understand is that I think that Tony Khan would have done his best to, like Sting, give him a legendary kind of little run and send him off, you know, with people respecting him more and liking him more. And I think that he's kind of missing an opportunity there with that.
And, possibly. You know, I'm glad he's not gone there. Because Goldberg at the end there just started, to me, he outstayed his welcome in WWE. His matches were really short. I don't think they did anything really for anyone. It was obviously the Lashley match we talked about with the spear spot off the ramp in Saudi, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty good. But that was an anomaly, right?
That was pretty good. But so much of what he did in WWE when he was there last time, you're like, why are you there? Obviously, you're making a lot of money and they've signed you to this contract and you've got to fulfill, you know, your obligations and have these matches. But I don't think they were entertaining. I don't think they flattered his opponents. I think maybe Drew McIntyre got something out of it. But I thought it was... You know, when Goldberg was losing really short matches, I think they diminished, you know, the aura of Goldberg, of what he once was.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those matches he had were really short, weren't they?
Yeah, they were like, I mean, the match he had with Drew at the Royal Rumble 2021, let me just get the time code, actually, because I'm sure it was like 2.5 minutes or three.
Yeah, it was really short. So, yeah. Goldberg could do something in AEW and there'd be people there he could work with who I think he would look at them and say, yeah, I respect you as a performer. I'm sure he could do something really good with Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, he could. But that's the thing, he could do loads and he would be in an environment where I think that Tony Khan and co would want him to, you know, I think they would want him to do well. They would want to book him. Yeah. He would look good.
I agree.
Yes, I think he's shown that He doesn't really have a clue what's going on, which, you know, is not a surprise, but a shame. Anyway, let's
look at the match time for the Drew match.
Oh, yeah, sorry, 2:33.
Ah, right, okay, yeah. Oh. I mean,
yeah, very
shame. In some ways, he didn't really do much for Drew either, because he kind of beat a Goldberg who was kind of a washed-up version of Goldberg. But, yeah Goldberg's very intransigent, inflexible in his views. And I just think he's blinkered, tunnel vision. He likes what he likes, and that's that. And sometimes you've got to be more broad-minded when it comes to things. And pro wrestling is, you know, it's the buffet, isn't it? It's lots of different things make pro wrestling. And all promotions, nearly all promotions anyway, I've got all different types of wrestling. They've got some comedy, serious stuff, you know, aerial stuff, and that's pro wrestling, isn't it? So, yeah, I don't really know where Goldberg's coming from. Well, I do understand where he's coming from by saying that, because I think I understand Goldberg. But to me, it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, you need to open your mind a little bit there, Bill. And if he doesn't want to go there, then don't go there. And that's best for everyone. If you went there with a bad attitude, it's just problems, isn't it?
Well, also, I just looked here because I wanted to double check. You know, when he had that really good run 2016 and 2017... The run he had, you know, with Brock, where he lost at WrestleMania. So that WrestleMania match was 2nd of April 2017. He didn't come back for over 2 years to do that Super Showdown match in Saudi with Undertaker. And it's like, Goldberg was old enough in 2017 that, like, you could have done more with him in those 2 years where he probably would have been better because he was a little bit younger,
yeah,
a little faster and a little bit more. But, you know, they left it, and then it was just like the Undertaker match in Saudi was awful. The Fiend match, then the pandemic match where Braun Strowman beat him and didn't mean it. Then the Drew match we just talked about. And then there was the Lashley matches. And then, you know, and I actually forgot, I totally forgot that he got beat by Roman Reigns at the 2022 Elimination Chamber in Saudi. I don't even remember that match. 6 minutes. Do you remember it?
I think I do, yeah. Because it was supposed to happen in 2020, and that was when Roman Reigns, it's when his leukemia came back, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's where Braun ended up being the replacement.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think I do remember it, yeah. I mean, it was, I think it was okay. I mean, Reigns obviously is really good and knows how to put a match together, as we've seen. So, I mean, if anyone can work with Goldberg, it'd be Roman Reigns. But yeah, I mean, if you're going somewhere with a bad attitude and you're just going to complain and you're not there really to be productive, then don't go there. So I think it's the best thing for everyone that he's not going to join AEW.
Okay, let's talk about, there was a bunch of WWE releases in the last week or so. So let's kind of go through them and see what, I'm just going to name the names and you can tell me what you think. So Jinder Mahal was released on April 19th. What do you make of him being released?
I mean, Tony Khan didn't save him. I mean, maybe Tony can bring him in. You know what I mean, Lucas? There's, man, you after last night. Are we going to see Tony Khan ever again? After the beatdown from Jack Perry and the Young Bucks? I mean, Jinder, I mean, he had his run. I mean, he actually did have that little highlight there with The Rock. So, and he was a trending topic and actually had the match with Seth Rollins as well, didn't he? So he actually was almost relevant just before he was released. But let's be honest, his time was up. What was there left for him to do? There wasn't anything, was there, to be honest, Kenny? You know?
Yeah.
He had his run. He had his run and that was it. Shame for him to share. I mean, they never really had a shot, did they?
No. And I know that Sangha has come out, and because Sangha was also released with Veer the following day, and I mean, Sangha's come out and said, you know, sort of spoken about how WWE didn't push them enough, and I mean, because there was this kind of like half baked thing of, you know, we have a big Indian audience, so let's get some Indian talent and push them.
But yeah.
The problem is when you've got Indian talent. I say this as somebody who's not really big up on Indian culture, so I don't really know enough about it to speak intelligently about it, but from my little knowledge of it, when you put an Indian group onto American television and expect them to just get over, it's kind of like it's not going to work, because you need to give the audience who are watching it a reason to care, and they just kind of never really fleshed out the gimmick with Jinder. I feel like Veer and Sangha were a team for like 5 years. I feel like a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, Star Spectacle or something that they did.
Yeah, I mean, they were better in NXT, and then they arrived on the main roster, and you sort of got the impression from the start that they were doomed, kind of almost a little bit like AOP, that type of act where you're just like, nah, they're not really going to do anything with them. They're really big guys, but you can see they don't really believe that they've got any real potential to go places in the company, and they never did, so... Yeah, I mean, the association with Jinder, I think, basically, you know, torpedoed any chances they had. And because Jinder was clearly on his way out, you know, he'd had his run. And, you know, that association with someone who's, you know, kind of a spent force, it's you know, it can be damning, can it, in terms of getting people to really invest emotionally. And then the company didn't really try, so... Yeah, I wish them luck. You know, I don't think they never got a fair shot in the main roster. I think most people would agree with that.
Xia Li is another one who has been released.
She did all right in the Rumble this year, I think. But I mean, they stopped and started with her a few times, and she wasn't very interesting. She just wasn't. And I wanted her to make it. Because I thought she was okay in NXT, but she never seemed to me like a can't-miss talent. And in many ways, I think she did well to survive numerous other, you know, waves of releases, in all honesty. So I'm not surprised by this development. And I'm sure you're not either, Kenny.
No, I do remember when in NXT they had that bit where she was, what was the storyline? It was her and Boa were with somebody who was in charge of them. Was it Tian Sha or something?
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember that. Oh blimey, that was, you've completely forgot about that. It was like something from a video game, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and it, but it kind of, I don't really went anywhere, or I can't remember where it went. But she, you know, there was kind of weekly vignettes of them being punished. That's it.
The wars, yeah, and it was like a "this is to make you tougher" type thing, and it was like something from, you know, I've been watching a show on Netflix called House of Ninjas, which is actually really good. It's like something from that. That's what it was lifted from, and yeah, it was. I mean, she just they did try with her. I mean, it was stop start. It was like Vince era stuff where they. We like, you know, that fickle booking that was synonymous with Vince, where they'd start with someone, it's like, oh, they haven't got over in 3 weeks. You know, I've lost interest now because the audience doesn't care, never will. Let's move on to someone else. And I felt like Xia Li was a victim of that, but also she never really made an impression with the audience. And it's a two-way street, isn't it? You know, you've got to, as an act, you've got to make some progress in order for the creative team to, you know, stick with you. Especially if they don't really believe in you in the first place.
Yeah, and also I think if you, it's in some similar ways to gender and or to Indus Shear and with Indian culture, if you're going to bring Chinese culture into it with Xia Li, you have to put quite a lot of effort into it. And it didn't feel like they ever really did. They kind of would, you know, throw this kind of grain of something out there and expect that somehow it was going to blow up and be this like big thing, and it just never.
Yeah, happened. yeah. You're right. Yeah, they could have done more with her for sure. Absolutely.
Zion Quinn, who was in NXT, and then he actually got, I think he got called up to, like, officially on the main roster, but we never, I think we saw him, he did the Bron Breakker squash match recently, but that was it. I'm not too familiar with him. Zion Quinn, he was in NXT. Tell me about him. Is he someone who could have gone further?
Wasn't that Dante Chen? I think he was. Can you just look that one up? I don't remember seeing the Zion Quinn match with Bron Breakker, but could be wrong about that.
Let me see.
But Zion Quinn was a really good-looking guy. There was rumours that he was going to be brought up as a member of Maximum Male Models when they were a thing.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Did he have the match with Bron Breakker?
He did. Oh, right. He faced Bron Breakker on the March 1st edition of SmackDown and lost in 6 seconds.
Blimey.
And you might have just blinked, Finn, and you missed it. You might have just had quite a long blink and you didn't know.
All right, okay. Was that
He was on the draft last year in 2023. He was announced a free agent, meaning he could appear both on Raw and SmackDown. And then he was in a battle royal on Raw on May 15th of last year to determine Gunther's IC title contender at Night of Champions.
Right.
Never seen him again. I think he would have been on. I'm almost willing to bet my house, going to look on a cage match here, that he appeared on Main Event numerous times.
I bet he did. Yeah. He had a lot of tattoos, almost model good looks. I think he actually had Maximum Male Models been given a chance. And I'm glad for LA Knight that he was, you know, broke away from that act, but that act had so much potential, and it was a shame they didn't do more with it. And I think Zion Quinn would have been brilliant in that act. But yeah, I mean, they tried him out in several roles in NXT, and I thought he actually had a lot of talent and a lot of potential, had a real swagger to him as a heel. I mean, he's somebody that I think AEW should probably have a look at because he's a big guy. I think he's, you know, he wasn't really, obviously, he wasn't used to. And he was anywhere near like 1% of his abilities on the main WWE roster. So he's somebody I think who could be a star in the future. You know, he's someone who could have another run with WWE in years to come. So, you know, maybe this is not the worst thing for him. Because as we talked about this on Tuesday, sometimes in wrestling, you go to a company at the wrong time. They're not ready to push you and you're not really ready to be pushed. And you need to go away and then come back. So maybe this is not a bad thing for him.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I'm lucky I didn't bet my house there because I stand corrected. He actually has not made one appearance for WWE between that Battle Royal last May and then that squash match against Bron Breakker in March.
Wow.
Very strange.
So, you know what? Hopefully for him, he was on a decent contract.
Yeah.
I mean, nice work if you can get it right. You're not spending money on road expenses. It's like, this is great.
Well, so remember the JTG thing of like somebody had made a website about how long JTG's been employed because he'd just like not been around.
Yeah.
Anyway, Von Wagner was someone who he was a couple of days later from the original crew. He was obviously kind of a big part of the NXT 2.0.
Yeah. Thing.
And there was some people who thought there was some people internally who thought he was going to be a WrestleMania main eventer. Now I didn't see a lot of Von Wagner. What? You know, are they missing the boat and not keeping him around? Did you see him going any further than he did?
I mean, I think they really tried with him in NXT in lots of roles as a heel. I mean, they put him in when NXT 2.0 was launched in late 2021. They put him in like a title match and people booed him because he hadn't earned it. And, you know, he was a heel for a while. Then he did the babyface turn with Robert Stone, and they had a long storyline there where Robert Stone or Mr. Stone, you know, was Von Wagner's friend and believed in him. And Wagner was like, you know, no one believes in me type of thing. And I think they tried really hard to build sympathy for him. And they talked about all the, you know, troubles he'd had as a kid in terms of operations and, you know, a very challenging childhood. And I actually thought he was a good performer. But I mean, there was something missing there. You know, there was something missing there. And had he gone to the main roster, I can't really picture what he would have done. You know, it's a bit like Lyra Valkyria, who's actually, you know, somebody they really like in NXT, was the NXT Women's Champion. I think she's a pretty good performer. She's improved loads over last year. But I just can't see a role for her on the main roster. So if she gets called up in the draft, I am just struggling, like, what's she going to do? And I think she'll absolutely tank there. So some people are just not cut out for big arena, big-time wrestling. You know, I don't know what Von Wagner's going to do next. Maybe TNA? Maybe that might be a good spot for him. I don't know. I mean, he's pretty good, and he can do a lot of different things. But, yeah, it was... They tried a lot of things, you know. I've got to say, NXT really tried with him. Tried lots of different things with him. But yeah, I think the creative team on the main roster are like, right, what we're going to do with this guy? It's like, well, can you think of anything? It's like, well, not really, no. And that's probably the reason why he was sent packing. So, I mean, it's very competitive. Obviously, there's lots of talent on the main roster, as we know, and lots of people waiting for their spot. So, you know, you've got to be, I'm not saying can't miss, but you've got to be, you know, somebody that the creative team's going to get excited about before they're going to bring you up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame for him in the sense of, you know, it sucks to see MDB let go. But, you know, we look at guys like Drew and Cody who are doing so well now, and you kind of have to do this thing where you prove them wrong in a way, or kind of prove that, you know, you've got what they might think deep down that you have, because... I always remember when Ryback got fired or got released, and without giving away his price tag, I remember when Cody got released, he would work a show and he would say to the promoter, he would ask them questions. He'd go, how many people do you get in the door? Or like, what's the attendance going to be? And then he would go, okay, I'll do it for this. But then for a bigger place, he'd go, I'll do it for this. And he would work with promoters. But Ryback would say, here's my fee, no matter what it is, and just wasn't flexible. And it was more than Cody at one point. And where's Ryback now? You know, he just never saw the big picture. Drew was the same. Drew, you know, when Drew went back to ICW, do you think in 2014, ICW had thousands to pay Drew per appearance? No chance. No chance.
Yeah.
But, you know, they recognised what it was. So if Von Wagner is going to be, you know, what they thought it was, then he has to go out and make a name for himself. So hopefully he does.
Yeah.
The last one, which was, again, a few days after the originals, was Cameron Grimes, who did a video on his social media where he was quite upset and saying that he had been trying to learn from everybody, but obviously he's been released. He was very charismatic in NXT, had a lot of stuff behind him, but on the main roster has kind of floundered due to lack of focus, I guess would be the correct word. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was a big fan of Cameron Grimes. I thought I really enjoyed his work in, would it have been Impact at that point? He was Trevor Lee, wasn't he there? Trevor Lee. And, you know, he came into NXT, did a lot of different things there as heel and as face and won some big feuds. And I always thought this guy has got everything it takes to make it on the main roster. And it seemed a couple of times like they were getting behind him, and then it would peter out after like a week or 2 weeks. So Witt's got a fluke win or something like that, or you get like an interview, but then it wouldn't lead to anything, or he would get beaten and it would be a convincing, decisive loss. And it was clear that he was there to shine up his opponent, and then he would disappear for weeks at a time. So I think it's a real shame. Yeah, it was kind of a bit like the famous Drake Maverick, you know, post that he put up there where he was really upset. And actually he was rehired after that, wasn't he, when Drake Maverick did it?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was Cameron Grimes' objective, to try and get rehired and try and, you know, create this, you know, groundswell of support from people who would get in touch with WWE and say, you need to rehire this guy. You know, maybe, you know, I don't know whether that's going to happen or it's not, but I think it's a real shame for Cameron Grimes, because he went there. I thought he did everything that was asked of him. I thought he did it really well. He did some really fun stuff there and did some serious stuff as well. It wasn't just comedy. So, yeah, I think it's a real shame, Kenny. Because he was somebody who I think could have contributed a lot to the main roster. But they obviously didn't see a spot for him. So I'm not sure what's next for Cameron Grimes, because he's already done the TNA thing. He could go back there. AEW's just obviously got so many people many of whom are not doing anything. And there's so many people waiting for a spot there. It's like, I'm not sure if, you know, they bring him in and he get that pop and they give him a win, but what's he going to do on week three, you know?
Yeah. It's a tough one. Obviously, you know, it's always a shame when people get released, but, you know, that's kind of the nature of the beast. And, you know, I think, as we always do, you know, we see the people who kind of are doing stuff. You know, you look at people like Mustafa Ali and Nick Nemeth and, you know, Matt Cardona, I guess, is probably one of the principal people you look at as well, where there's money to be made and there's stuff to do. And
yeah.
There's a lot that you can do. You just need to sort of have that. What's the word? You almost need to let your ego kind of accept that things are going to be different for a while.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you're the more that you kind of lean into being an independent wrestler for a while or being somewhere else, you know, because like, if I'm a wrestler and, you know, AEW. I think AEW is somewhere where, like you mentioned, for Zion Quinn, it might be quite a good place for him to start off, because he's kind of not got as much of a name. But, you know, if you're a bigger name or something like Cameron Grimes, you probably think, if I sign with AEW, I'm going to get a really well-paid gig, and I'm probably going to be on Ring of Honor and Rampage.
Yeah.
So am I better to maybe go to TNA? Am I better to sort of play the field and go multiple places? So I think for everybody it'll be different, but there's definitely ways to make decent money in wrestling in 2024, so I hope that all of them are able to do it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's just important to stay motivated and not become, you know, too crestfallen and downhearted about it. And I imagine, you know, when you've built your hopes up that, yes, it's going to work for me this time, and, yeah, it's going to come together, and I'm, you know, this time next year I'm going to be a regular on premium live events, and I'm going to be vying for this title, or I'm going to hold this title, and blah, 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 blah. And then instead, it's like, sorry, you know, we're cutting you, and you've got 90 days notice, and blah, blah, blah. And it must be really devastating. In some ways, if you've had your run and you've gone as far as you can, like a Jinder Mahal,
yeah,
you know, you can, I'm sure that must be easier to accept. But with a Cameron Grimes, where you think, well, he just never gave me a chance to show them what I could do on the main roster. That must be very frustrating, if not despairing. So it must be very difficult. But, you know, I wish him well, and I think he's going to do all right. You know, he's going to do all right out there. He'll get the convention gigs. There's money to be made there. You know, the stuff you can do in Europe. You know, there's obviously MLW and, you know, there's New Japan. I mean, New Japan could probably use some of these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know whether they're interested in taking any of these guys on, but, you know, no one's talking about New Japan anymore. Why not hire some of these talents that WWE has cut and try and get people interested again? It's tough. It's got to be really tough. Losing, like, your dream job and, like, right, what am I going to do next? There's a lot of opportunities out there to rebuild and to come back stronger, I think. So, you know, you've just got to stick with it and just say, you know what, these people made a mistake and I'm going to prove to them that they did. I'm not going to be bitter about it. I'm just going to say, right, I appreciate the opportunity and TV time, blah, 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 and all the, you know, working with the trainers and learning how to do TV and everything else. And I'm going to bring that to another company and I'm going to make that company better. I'm going to shine there and I'm going to prove to you that you made a mistake by not pushing me.
Yeah, for sure. And I do think, you know, I think Tanahashi, who's the president of New Japan now, he had actually said yesterday that he's quite envious of WWE's ability to churn out and make talent in such a fast period of time. So, you know, he's obviously watching what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, and looking. So that could play into whether he wants to, you know, take some people on. Before we go, a couple of quick AEW notes. I mean, there have been kind of some unsubstantiated rumors or stories that I don't think we have enough credence to say that they're legit, but just we'll be hypothetical about it, that Ricky Starks, potentially when his contract is up, would go to WWE. We know he's got a good relationship with Cody.
He was at
the Rumble this year or last year. He was at one of the Rumbles, kind of as a guest of Cody. And then Hook is someone who's also kind of come up. I mean, in terms of those two acts, do you think either of them would do well in WWE? Do you think either of them would be better to stay where they are? What are your thoughts on both of them?
I mean, with Ricky Starks, he's got to ask himself, what's next for me in AEW? What can I feasibly do in this organization? And I think he's probably peaked there. Probably. I mean, has he really done much since he lost the tag team belts?
No, I think he's injured. I think he's got an injury.
Right, okay. Okay. So, I mean, he lost the belts to Sting and Darby Allin, right? So they lost the belts to set up the Young Bucks match at the pay-per-view. And, he just doesn't really feel like he's done much since then. As you said, he's injured. I just feel like Starks has probably peaked in AEW. I can't see him really going any further than he already has. And if he were to enter the WWE system, there's lots he could learn there. Like I was just saying about Cameron Grimes, you know, just being around those trainers and those people there, you just become a better wrestler and a better all-around performer. And as you said, he's pals with Cody Rhodes. So I think there's a good possibility that WWE would make him an offer. I think there is, you know, and Cody's in a position right now where he knows how the game's played. He's not going to do a Hulk Hogan circa 1994. Yes, you have to hire Ed Leslie. So we're going to play a bit Starcade together.
You're like, Cody, Marshall's coming in to headline a PL Eason.
That's it. You know, so Cody's not going to do that, but everybody knows how the game is played. And Ricky Starks, I think, is somebody that they would be interested in. I mean, Hook, I think he's somebody that would probably really benefit from being in the WWE system. I mean, you know, that feud with Jericho, he's just lost the FTW title to Jericho. I mean, fans are chanting, please retire at Jericho, weren't they, during the match?
Yeah, but which they will say is what they want it to happen and that this is part of the story. But I guess the thing is the story effective is the key?
Yeah.
Is Hook going to come out of this a bigger name than he was going in? Which, if he does, then fair enough. But at the moment, does it feel that way? I don't know.
Yeah. What's and it's like, you know, again, it's like, oh, I'm winning the FTW title back, so that would make him like a 3-time champion at that point, would it? I think it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it would, yeah.
And it's like, again, it's like, I think Hook's someone who's stalled in his development, certainly in terms of his promos and the character. And when he came in, people were really excited about him, and then he didn't really do a lot for ages and was just doing short matches. And now he's doing longer matches, which is obviously good. He's developing in the ring. But again, you just sort of say, well, what's Hook going to do next? You know, how can he get from where he is now to further up the card? I don't know. I mean, let's face it, Taz didn't have a great time in WWE, did he? So, I mean, that could be a factor in his decision. You know, his father might just say, well, you know, if you go there, you're not a particularly big guy. There's going to be a ceiling. You stay here. You know, you're established. People know who you are. You know, Tony Khan likes you. You know, I'm putting you over on commentary. you know, I'm participating in your angles. This is a safer spot for you at this point in your career. So, yeah, I think that's quite a decision, actually, for Hook. I think for Ricky Starks, I think if WWE makes him an offer, I would accept it if I were him. But with Hook, I think that's quite a difficult decision for him because it could go, it could backfire on him going to NXT.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ricky Starks is someone who, I think he's someone who is not, like Ricky Starks is a really good wrestler. Like he's good, but I think he's not someone who, like I think he could definitely have a lot of great matches with people like Ospreay or Danielson, which he already has. But I don't think he's kind of like a Young Bucks style wrestler. I don't mean that in a negative way. I just think they're different styles, and I think he would probably suit the WWE style a little bit better. So I think Starks would probably do well there. And yeah, with Hook, you're right, he's got a tough decision to make. Would Taz see through the fact that it's not a Vince company anymore? I mean, I guess it's just the time will tell the more that WWE are pushing different sizes of people.
Yeah.
Might give them the comfort to do it. I mean, we're in a spot now where if some... Because Hook, how old is Hook? 24? 25?
He's still really young, isn't he?
So, I mean, Hook is... Let me just see what age he is here. Hook is 24. I mean, if he's going to be a wrestler for the next 15 years, the odds are he's not going to be in the same place the whole time.
No.
Just like if somebody's 23 in WWE, they might not be there the whole time. So, yeah, we'll see. Let's finish off, though, with talking about the big angle to finish off last night's Dynamite, which was the fallout from Dynasty, because at Dynasty, Jack Perry had returned to help the Young Bucks win the AEW tag team titles from FTR in the ladder match. And at the end of the show, Perry was in a segment where he called out Tony Khan,
also
playing off the real life drama that they've had with each other. And I've not seen it yet. I've just read about it. And I've seen a clip of the punch to the gut. But can you just explain for people what happened and what you thought of the angle that in the end gave us the first appearance of Tony Khan's dad? Chad Khan made an appearance here, so...
Yeah, just actually going back to Ricky Starks' thing, of course he's injured, because he was injured in that tag team match, wasn't he?
Yes.
I wrote about that in the latest issue of Inside the Ropes magazine, which is on sale today. And yeah, Ricky Starks has had some injuries there in AEW, and maybe... I mean, that was really handled so badly in that match with Top Flight, wasn't it? And he was suspected concussion, and they didn't stop the match. The match continued. It's like, wow, what's going on here? This match should have been stopped immediately. I wrote about it in the magazine, which I've said is on sale today. So, yeah, I watched the show Closing Angle with Jack Perry, and he called out Tony Khan, who looked really awkward and looked kind of clueless. And Perry's there, well, you know, shake my hand. We're going to change the world together. And, yeah, I mean, whenever you see something like this, I always think about Vince, and I think about Stephanie, and I think about Linda, you know, Linda being the low watermark of an on-screen performer, you know, someone who should just never have been an on-screen performer. And I think Tony is about at those levels. You know, Dixie Carter was actually, I went back and watched the Dixie Carter table bump, we believe.
Right,
and Dixie was actually not bad as a heel owner. And no one by that point would give her any credit. No one would. And Tony's probably at that point as well now as well. Obviously, I'm not giving him any credit here. But, I mean, Dixie wasn't bad, actually, as a heel owner. And, you know, oh, she was a joke. Actually, she was pretty good. And so, yeah, Jack Parry gave him, nailed him, and Tony took a bump. And then, you know, the ratings death squad came out, the Young Bucks and Okada. And they're like, what are you doing, Jack? What are you doing? And then they pick Tony up, and Tony's there, like, naively thinking they're there to help him. And then they clobber him as well. So the audience didn't really know what to make of it, by my reckoning. Because I think, you know, when Tony actually came out to stand in the ring with Jack Perry, it was just, there was like no pop. There was no response at all to Tony. And I think people don't know whether to cheer or boo him at the moment, given everything that's happened over the last, well, actually over the last really 2 years. So, I mean, it's an interesting story to see where it goes, but I've been racking my brains to try and work out where it is going to go. And I think really a wrestler should have run out to save Tony Khan, and none did, right, Kenny? I'm not imagining that, am I?
No, they did have people come out afterwards. So they did have various people coming out afterwards to check on Tony. But I mean, the angle, I mean, I've not seen it. I've just kind of heard secondhand what's happened. I've seen the punch to the gut. But it's one of those weird things where, I mean, I've assumed he was going to become a TV character at some point. But I don't know. The thing is, Linda was one of my guilty pleasures in wrestling because she was so terrible. So, I mean, what I loved from just the clip that I've seen so far is when Jack Perry hits the gut punch, Tony Khan, it's kind of great how he sells it. He sells it like he's been shot dead and just falls to the ground and does not move for 5 seconds. And then immediately, as if he's just woken up from a coma, is like doubled over in pain. I mean, yeah. It's just like, I mean, it's very funny how he sold it. But I mean, I don't, look, based on where they are now in 2024, I understand the idea of, like, you want to really get, you know, put all this heat on Jack Perry because of what's happened. And, you know, people weren't chatting CM Punk, which was good.
Yeah.
But time will tell. I mean, if Perry being with the Bucks and Okada is a good spot for him, it's a really good spot for him. And he can kind of use all this CM Punk stuff to the advantage of the heel. I mean, if I don't know what he's allowed to say or not say, because obviously I don't know if there's any legal things, but at this point, I'd be have Jack Perry do a media interview, you know, and do it with Sports Illustrated or whatever, just a safe one that you're happy with, and have him just go all in on this character, no pun intended. Like, have him just be a total dick, because that's what he needs to do to get this over. But I mean, if we're leading to the Young Bucks against Tony and Shad Khan on paper, then we might be in trouble. But
yeah, I mean. Yeah, to me, I mean, maybe it was too soon. Some babyface wrestlers should have run out to save Tony.
Yeah.
That's what should have happened to me. And then the heels, they flee. And then that then sets a match up down the road. But instead, they didn't. And it's like, well, where are... This should have been one of those manic, crazy pull-aparts that you see like a few times here. We've got all this commotion, all this noise. Everyone's just screaming for no reason because that's what you do in pull-aparts. Call an ambulance. Ah, this, you know, just that thing where it's just loads of noise and commotion to try and illustrate just how serious the gravity. Oh, this is like, you know, this is like the most shocking moment in the history of the company. That was the message they needed to really convey. And I don't think they did that. I mean, I suppose it makes sense in terms of how the Young Bucks have been, and we know they're EVPs. I'm just trying to work out where this is going to go. And I hope I want to believe they've got a master plan. I would like to believe that, Kenny. And I'm not going to say that. You know what? Let's just see how it plays out. Let's give them a chance.
You can. I mean, I will say you can actually kind of make the story work, because Tony Khan, in story, suspended the Young Bucks, suspended Jack Perry. They've both had a lot taken away from them over time. It makes sense why they are out for Tony Khan. Like, it does make sense, but...
Oh, yeah, I agree. But where does it go next? And Tony's just so poor as an on-screen performer. And he's not a sympathetic figure. And people weren't like, you know, that wasn't really the response. I mean, to me, it's like, okay, it was shocking. And you know what? If this is the start, but the problem is it's going to be more heat as heels on the Young Bucks. I mean, they were in the, again, last week, were in the lowest rated segment of Dynamite. Last week was back down to 762,000 viewers. And nearly always in the lowest rated segment. And they're just not an act that a mass audience likes. You know, they are a, you know, deterrent. You know, they drive viewers off. So, I mean, Jack Perry, I mean, the jury's still out on him. I mean, he obviously needed to turn heel and has done. Well, I mean, he was a heel last year, wasn't he? Before he was suspended. But I think he's got a lot of growing to do as a performer to be a top guy. And Okada's in there, and you know, Okada's great in the ring, but he's got limitations, obviously, in this style of wrestling. So, yeah, I'm not sure where this goes. Yeah, you are right, Kenny. It does make sense. But who does this lead to? What does this lead to? Does this lead to Tony Khan putting the company up? Possibly. And the Young Bucks and Okada and Jack Perry becoming like in charge of AEW. And that's kind of, we've been there before, haven't we, Kenny, in other companies many times. Maybe that's the end game here.
I did really chuckle that like the NFL, on one of the NFL like sites that covers like NFL stuff, made a post about Tony Khan being attacked on Dynamite. Yeah, Jag around the NFL had a story. No, it's actually on the NFL website, NFL.com. There is a story. Jaguars Tony Khan takes punch pile driver on AEW Dynamite show. Tony Khan's status for the Jacksonville Jaguars 2024 NFL draft obligations could be questionable. The founder and owner of AEW took a punch to the gut and a Meltzer driver, pile driver, Wednesday night live on Dynamite. Shad Khan, Tony's father and the owner of the Jaguars, took to the ring to check on his son. And then it's all part of an angle, of course, but it was shocking nonetheless, as Tony Khan has never been physically involved in AEW to that extent, and his father's appearance added more realism to the stunning end to the show.
Well, presumably Tony will go old school and wear the neck brace. Neck brace will be on, and maybe he'll come out on a stretcher. I mean, traction, sorry.
That way. Who knows?
But I mean, you know, the move that the Bucks did where they had him up in that stupid tombstone pile driver thing and then the other one flips through the air like a gymnast, it just looked terrible. It's like, why not do something realistic, Young Bucks? Well, I mean, that would be a first in their careers, wouldn't it? And I just thought it looked awful. And it's just, you know, this is supposed to be a mega heat beatdown. You're supposed to be the most villainous heels who've ever lived. And you're just doing this fancy flippy move. That just like, you know, just the drama was just sucked out of the, you know, it was just killed the atmosphere for me doing that flippy move. Just beat him down, you know, do a like fake chair shot or something like that, something, or have a breakable chair handy and smash that over him. But to actually do that move on him, I just thought that looked absurd.
Well, I will look forward to watching it later today and see where this goes. Wrestling is wild in 2024, and we'll be back next week with more. We'll be back on Tuesday to talk about the draft and all the fallout from both shows, SmackDown and Raw, see what everyone's placed, and we will update you in Tony Khan's condition.
That's it. Maybe he's doing that. Was it Ted DiBiase or someone in Mid-South famously like worked all the doctors and was like in, you know, selling the neck injury. I think it could have been, maybe was it a brain buster from Dick Murdoch? Could have been from that angle. You know, we covered the famous DiBiase Ric Flair match and where DiBiase bled loads and then Dick Murdoch came out and did the brain buster on the floor. It could have been from that, but there was a famous angle back in the 86 or 85, around about that time, when DiBiase actually spent like 2 days in hospital and he was totally fine and was working, broken neck. And it was, maybe Tony will do that.
We'll see. But listen, thank you so much, everybody, for all your support. As always, we'll be back next week with more. I will talk to you soon. If I
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.